This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm, and catch him on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, as well as Sundays, where he's part of Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 on Sirius XM from 9 to noon. He is Jonathan Hood. All right, boys, let's go ahead and dive into it, because Saturday we had Saturday night's main event. It was John Cena's final match inside a WWE ring. Ultimately, he taps out to Gunther. Was Gunther going over, especially the way he went over, the right move for WWE?
Yes. It was right for WWE, but more importantly, it was right for John Cena. Cena, Brian, has quite the pull on WWE. It was Cena's idea.
Yeah.
The only thing is, though, is that Cena went out his way, sure, but also went out with a smile on his face. As my co-host on Pro Wrestling Nation said, he didn't tap out, he clocked out. Meaning that he punched the clock like, okay, that'll be all, clock out. Because the thing that I was disappointed in is that it's not like John Cena was in peril when he was in that sleeper hole. He was laid in the sleeper. Did you notice that? It wasn't like, you know, how you usually do. You move the arms around like, I can't breathe. It wasn't that. It was kind of just like laying in the sleeper hold, even though Gunther cranked it. And Cena just laid in it and just like casually just tapped out with a smile on his face. So it's right for WWE, because now you got a red hot heel with heat in Gunther.
Yeah, I think that's the reason it is the right move, because we've talked a lot on this show. This company doesn't have heels. There isn't that one guy or girl you look at and say, oh, they're hated. Gunther on Monday, you're like, oh, now you have a real heel. I was worried Monday because all that heat seemed to be towards Hunter, and the crowd was almost too smart, and the crowd was not happy with him. But now that we're seeing Gunther get that heat on Monday, I don't love the storytelling of like, hey, you have to leave, because what did he do wrong? He just won the match he was in, you know, which I assume is his job, but whatever. That's his own
little
thing.
And then bragged about it, which I'm sure is that's just the business of pro wrestling. You win the match, you get to brag about it.
So that's weird. So now, though, you have this top star. Now it is Legend Killer-esque. He's still taking shots at Goldberg through TMZ and different outlets, so making Bret Hart proud. But he should retire AJ Styles this year. He should retire Randy Orton. Like, keep it going and continue to build him as this monster heel.
Well, I guess I was surprised at all of the negative reaction to it. I understand being in the building, wanting that to happen. But the way it leaked out, because and maybe it was just being so in the GKW bubble we're in of, it's obvious he was going to lose. I guess I was more surprised he tapped out versus passing out, which is something that we talked about, Hood, where, yes, you can still get that win by submission, but he passed out and is just no longer able to defend himself. But tapping out just added another layer to it, and I loved it. I just loved the and I think Shayna Baszler said it best on Twitter, where she's like, a lot of times in MMA, you're tapping out just because you're acknowledging they have you beat. And that's a part of what Cena was doing. He's got me. Not much I can do here. It's not necessarily giving up. It's just acknowledging that you're beat. And, the massive heat is 100% worth it for Gunther, man. Because, and they just told us. They have now telegraphed the move. He's retiring AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Like, Styles is sitting out there waiting for his car. The reason for him to go to his car was, like you said, a little, you got to suspend some disbelief there. But, I mean, if they have... If Styles, like he said, is going to retire at some point in 2026, there's rumors that Brock Lesnar is going to retire this year. They're bringing back rumors Chris Jericho for a potential retirement angle. He should retire all three.
Yeah.
And so you can continue to – what's great about this as well is you can continue to build him, and he doesn't have to be anywhere near your championship picture. This is another great story that you are going to be able to tell throughout 2026 – without him coming close to the WWE World Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship. Like, that's the type of monster heel you're potentially building, one that doesn't need a championship to, like, have the reactions that the fans gave him on Monday. Man, I am excited for what they do with this guy in 2026, because he is so incredibly over now as this mega heel. And I know there were reports that WWE was surprised by the reaction. They should be thrilled with the reaction. If they weren't expecting it to be this much heat on Gunther, the fact that he is getting this much heat they should be thanking their lucky stars that this is the way this turned out.
Well, Hood, one of your favorite bookers, Jeff Jarrett, said it's one of the single dumbest finishes ever. He said, I love watching movies when the superhero gets destroyed in the final scene and then dies. And he called it a slap in the face to the fans that were in attendance.
Yeah, this comes from him, part of the Jeff Jarrett, Booker T, Hulk Hogan angle. He talks about bad finishes with Vince Russo. Okay, whatever, Jeff. You carny. But you know, here's what's interesting to me is that it's like with John Cena got a lot of heat. You know, John Cena sucks, and let's go Cena, right? Ultimately, that was a reaction to Vince McMahon because of the booking. The Cena sucks stuff was, and the booing of Cena was because they didn't like the booking. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing here with Gunther. There's heat on Gunther, but the heat was so much on Triple H a lot. We saw that post show, and I think he was taken aback because I saw the press conference, guys, and just AEW chants and just like, you fucked up and all this other stuff. And Triple H didn't know what to say. A guy that's pretty good in the microphone, he was there, and he's like, time-honored tradition. And so he went back to the Vince McMahon, Bret Hart, it's a time-honored tradition that you tap out. I was like, this has got nothing to do with Brett, man. He was struggling to find words because he heard the crowd behind him, and he was just like, I didn't know what to say. So the heat's on him because the crowd in Washington, D.C. thought, well, you screwed Cena. And it really wasn't that. It was what Cena wanted. Now, who's the better booker? Is it Tony Khan or is it Triple H? Because Tony Khan insisted that Sting win that tag team match. Sting wanted to also lose that match. He wanted to go out in Greensboro. But Tony looked around and said, I got 19,000 in Greensboro. People travel all over the country. He goes, you're not losing. We'll have a tag team tournament, but you're winning in this tag team match. And that's what happened.
And I guess in I think that throughout all this discourse this week, Dave Meltzer has pointed out like this idea of time-honored tradition was, again, goes more back to the territory days, not necessarily for retirements, right? And it's why I asked when we had Vince Russo on, like, okay, writing retirement angles has to be really tough because the thing about WWE, yes, there are season finales of Raw, but they've got a next one coming next Monday, right? Like, oh, it's the series premiere. It's the season premiere of Raw. Okay, how is this any different than what we just saw last week, right? Pro wrestling is so different than every other form of storytelling because it's continuous. And to Jeff Jarrett saying, well, I love it when the hero dies at the end of the movie. There is no end of the movie. Like for WWE, like it's continuously going, which is why the thought of the old time-honored tradition of going out on your back because you're trying to boost somebody as you're leaving, you know? And that's what I appreciated about this with, because it wasn't just Tony Khan, it was the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks were the hand-picked guys by Sting that he wanted to have that final match with because he knew it would be a fantastic match, and it was. But the Bucks refused to lose, or the Bucks refused to beat Sting. And it just made a lot more sense. Here, like, man, Cena putting over Gunther is okay, let's say Cena wins that match. Monday Night Raw is not as exciting. Yeah. We're not excited for Monday Night Raw and Gunther coming out. And, you know, Gunther probably has to go away for a while after winning that match. Instead, he comes out to that type of heat. Like, that sets you up for your 2026, man. Like, I love this for Cena. And this is what I explained because this was such a big story. So I've got people in the office. I've got people that kind of pay attention to wrestling. Hey, what was up with this? Why is, you know, shouldn't have Cena have won that last match? And I explained to him why I thought he shouldn't have. And it ends up making sense to people because, again, it's just a continuous loop of storytelling in WWE. There never is a clean finish. There never is a clean break of, oh, here's the end of the movie. It's not because they've got 2 hours of wrestling they got to put on Monday night. Soon to be, unfortunately, 3 hours of wrestling to put on Friday nights. So it just helps with the continuous storytelling of WWE. And this was the way to go for the company. I am fully convinced of that after watching Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and sometimes that pivot makes it more memorable. Like that pivot at the end, we're like, whoa, I didn't see that finish coming, makes it that much more of a memorable moment, a memorable movie, where Gunther, who has been world champion, who has been to WrestleMania, who's had long title runs, Saturday was the biggest moment of his career. Like it topped anything he's done, and it's because he won. It wasn't just because he was in the match. That wasn't enough. He was an afterthought in terms of that. But because he won, because he got the guy who never gives up to give up, that was a star-making moment in a company that doesn't have heels, that doesn't have fresh faces. Now, all of a sudden, you have this monster that, like you laid out, Gabe, you have an entire 2026 plan already.
Yeah, Gunther is a legend killer without the punt kicks.
Yeah.
Just like Randy Orton right now. Now you have a real legend killer. Imagine Gunther coming after you to end your career.
Yeah.
We haven't had one of those in a long time in wrestling. Usually it's like a bounty hunter, someone that's out. I mean, the hooded bounty hunter or someone that was paid to come in and take you out. Well, here's a guy that can take you out. I think that it is interesting. I told Gabe this last week that there's a number of wrestlers that are wrestling right now that don't believe in Gunther. They think that he's boring, that don't think that he's worth it. And you know, usually in that situation, you want to have a young person to be John Cena. But we've documented it many times on the show. There is no young person that could have been able to be in that spot, Saturday Night's Main Event, to knock out John Cena. It just wasn't going to happen. Because here's the alternative, guys. Say that's LA Knight. Okay, so he gives you a blunt force trauma five times and then finally beats Cena.
Don't forget that.
Yes, and then the 1-2-3. Is it the same thing that Gunther's getting? No. That's why Gunther was the right guy. And this is no shot at LA Knight, but it's you have a big hulking figure like Gunther, right? Who's been in big matches, who retired Goldberg this year. If that's LA Knight in that spot, you don't get the same reaction.
If it's LA Knight in that spot, Cena has to win.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Because then it makes sense. To me, then it makes sense for Cena to win. But for Gunther and... Again, just being that heel, it just puts Gunther on another level, man. Like, it just, you factor all these other things in. And again, I know Gunther's not this young pup, but he's still young in his WWE career and on the main roster, even though he's won those championships. He's been a longtime Intercontinental champion. It just takes him to a whole new level. I mean, when's the last time WWE had a heel like this, where he didn't need a championship to be as relevant as this guy is going to be in our lives for the next 12 months?
Andre.
That was not yesterday. Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know. With each passing day, I am more convinced that this was the right thing to do for WWE. Even though Hunter wasn't expecting it and he fumbled over his words in the press conference, who cares, man? Because of that reaction you got on Monday night. And he's going to continue to get, by the way.
Yes. And it's also funny because, like, Hood, you point out the Let's Go Cena sucks was in reaction to his booking. Cena winning this match would have been, Super Cena wins again. And now people are upset Cena lost the match. Like, these fans, as Bryan Danielson has said, they're fickle. Like, it's like, we're going to go this way this week. Like, it's very baffling in that regard.
So, Brian, the calls I took on Sunday, I didn't expect it. I wasn't Triple H bubbling over my words, by the way. I'm hosting the show.
That's good.
But the people that were calling in, I was really surprised. This is a hot button topic even today. That's always, you know, your Twitter is one thing, but people calling in saying that, well, what about my kids? And what about the kids? And there was several people that called in that were in Washington, D.C. to see this. $850, $900. My kid wants to see Cena win. It's kind of like, then you don't know wrestling. Like Cena, if you listen closely, he did every outlet except ours. Okay. He did so many interviews.
And he's about to do another one with Cody Rhodes, by the way.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, he did so many outlets kind of saying, guys, get yourself prepared. All right. Brace yourself. Honest to God, this is my last time wrestling. Get used to the finish. You're not saying it in so many words. I'm paraphrasing, but brace yourself. This is my last match, and you got to come to grips with it. That you know, also ultimately, I could lose my last match, but just celebrate it either way, right? So that was telling too. And when he was saying that to different shows, I'm like, yeah, he's losing, and he actually is not coming back to wrestle. That's it. But a lot of people, Brian, were calling in saying, what about the money that was spent? And I'm just like, it's funny. Wrestling people and sports people are in different bubbles. I think on this show, because we know sports, we can intermingle it. But you'd be surprised at how many people that are wrestling fans that are not sports fans. And what I said on the show was, and I'm telling you guys, that when you go to a game, it's not guaranteed that your team's going to win.
I wish. I spent so much money watching my team lose. Like, can I get a refund on that stuff? How's this work?
I spent a lot of money on Brewers tickets and watched them just get pounded by the Dodgers, man.
Yeah, but guess what? It happens, right?
Yeah.
But that reality does not set in with wrestling. Some wrestling fan, not all. But I said on the show, I was like, hey, I'm a White Sox fan. I see my team get pounded relentlessly. But I know when I go in, more than likely that's going to happen. If my team wins, it's awesome. But if my team loses, like, that's part of sports. And the same thing with wrestling. Sometimes your favorite's going to lose. And I don't feel like I've wasted money because I spent 3 hours watching. But the wrestling fan feel like they got gypped.
Well, and how it's funny that? Because you bring up the Jeff Jarrett comments because he also brought up the kids. He's like, well, what about the kids? I love being able to tell people that John Cena has the most make-a-wishes ever. Well, him losing doesn't take that away. Like John
Cena,
he's
still going to do that.
He's still done it. It's not like the kids are suddenly going to be like, "Oh, John Cena's a loser. Take him away from the Make-A-Wish kids." Like, I didn't understand bringing up that in this whole discourse too this week. That was just interesting.
Would we have looked at Saturday differently if they give him a mic at the end? Like they did the video package where, coincidentally, the only time he really got choked up was seeing Vince. But like they did that, and then he didn't talk. He just left everything in the ring, walked off. If he got a mic, do we look at it differently? Same result, yeah, everything else.
Yeah, they did that wrong at the end. They did that wrong. I didn't understand why he didn't get a chance to speak because it's his last time, right? His last time wrestling. So yeah, they did that wrong. First of all, here comes Bruce Pritchard and Stephanie and Triple H and like Nick Khan and then the wrestler and everyone gets booed. So now it's a sour moment,
right?
because now people think that the evil empire screwed Cena. And Cena saying in the ring, "It was me, guys, it was me." And then the audience like, "Nah, that's bullshit. They did this to you." And like, so now it's confusion, right? And then Triple H comes to the apron. Congratulations. Look at the board, right? And so there's Vince and there's mom and dad and stuff up there. And, you know, Cena's a cyborg, right? The facial expression never changes until you saw Vince and he starts to well up a little bit. But then afterwards, he should have said something to the audience. And they
even,
did that
even
wrong,
if it was
I
an
thought.
Emotional moment, just thank everybody for coming. Thank everybody for the support. Like it could have been a 30-second promo. Just thanking everybody, I think.
Yeah. Hell, Drew McIntyre saying American Pie. I could
have
say something.
That would have been good. That would have been memorable.
Where's Tyson Fury when you need him?
You know? So I just, but it's, guys, it's been a powder keg. GKW_ wrestling has been on fire because people disagree with us or with me about the finish. And it's just, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just push this over to the side. We'll come back to this Thursday. I've not been on our Twitter the last few days because it's been very angry, very upset. It's just like, dude, he was retiring and he was going to lose because that's what John wanted. All of a sudden, now the kids are important. What about the kids? Ultimately, it's the adults saying, "What about me?" They have the kids as a meat shield, Gabe. It's really about the adults.
Yeah.
It's really,
what about the kids when he turned heel before WrestleMania?
They didn't say anything about the kids then, did they?
And then that poor kid in, was it Belgium? That poor chubby kid that Cena yelled at? Like,
what about the chubby kid? What about the chubbies?
Yeah. What about the chubby kid from Belgium? At least Brian Rowitz is thinking about the chubby kid from Belgium.
Chubby kid. Didn't think about that. But this has been red hot. But I guess ultimately, Gunther, at some point we got to continue to delve on this. Gunther is the guy. Because if Gunther's not in that spot, what's hot in WWE besides the Vision? Kinda. What's hot? So that's why Gunther had
Vision,
to do this.
The Vision threw some water on themselves, trying to put themselves out this week. All right, we'll get into that in a little bit. But
just saying, if not Gunther, then what, right, in this company?
You get the Usos at New Day. We've never done that before.
No? I still had fun with that, though.
No, sucks. WWE's in reruns now.
Yeah, it's a good match, though.
WWE Sanford and Son, they're in reruns.
Let's go ahead and dive into some of the other things that, again, are going to delve off of this. We call it the three count, the other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. Brian, what do we have at number one?
Another part of Saturday Night's main event was Young Stars versus main roster stars. Which Young Star benefited the most from Saturday Night's main event?
Saul Ruka.
It's not even close for me, and it's Obafemi. Not even close. Like the way he looked now, again, Hunter can't help himself. Has to have somebody run in at during one of these matches, right? Got to have a non-finish in one of them. And I wish Oba, if you're going to do that, fine. But then to me, Obafemi's got to be more aggressive. Like he's got to go after Drew McIntyre instead of just being like, "Oh, what are you doing, man?" Like get in his face, throw a punch. This guy just ruined your moment because he's mad at Cody. Go get him. But I thought Obafemi looked great, and I thought him and Cody Rhodes kicking off the show was great. So my answer is Oba.
Agreed about Oba. What was the total time on that? 8 minutes? 9 minutes?
Oh, quite, yeah.
It was a delve into the future of Obafemi, who has not had a lot of time, and Gabe and I talked about this, not a lot of time on the main roster, but it was a great opportunity for him to showcase what he can do. The legit bleeding of Cody Rhodes going over the top of that table, it's like, oh boy, like that shows you how rough he is. But again, we're going right back to the well, which is ruining Cody Rhodes and his title run, going back to the well again with McIntyre. This is just ridiculous. A wrestler I don't believe in creatively. I love McIntyre as far as what he's doing on social media and the promos and all that, but they booked him into an oblivion. And I saw him, by the way, after the Cena show on Saturday. He's at the airport with a white wall behind him. It's like, hey, you upset about Cena? I'm upset because I'm not getting the title, man. Like all this, like we're right back here again with McIntyre. So I thought it was Sol Ruka for me, Brian, because she won the match against Bailey. Weird.
It was obvious
card.
That she was the only one who had a chance at winning her match, by the way. She was the only one. If somebody was going to win from NXT, it was clearly going to be her over Bailey.
By the way, as an aside, you notice everything was babyface versus babyface until the main event. Strange booking, right? Everything was a babyface except the only heel on the card was Gunther. Interesting.
Because heels don't exist in that company. Like, who else? Like, and Ethan Page isn't quite a young star. Like, that's the only issue there.
You know what I mean, though. Like, yeah. it was, you know, everyone agreed with one another until we got to Gunther. But Sol Ruka, there's some things I've never seen before. The gymnastics into the wrestling. My hope is that she stays healthy forever, because some of those things, man, the things that she does to get into moves are just amazing. And Bailey was the right person to take on. Bailey didn't mind losing the matchup, but Sol Ruka is the next level because she does things, and we see a lot of gymnastics in wrestling, but not quite what she does. It's very, very productive and just awe-inspiring to me.
I do actually hate her finisher. I think there's too much waiting around for it. I will say that. But yeah, she looked great. My issue with Oba is the Drew part of it, where we've seen Drew lose so much that if Oba gets called up and beats Drew, what does that mean? Like, they're like, all right, yeah, you're just another guy beating Drew McIntyre.
But to Kay's point, he was awesome.
He was great in the match. And even the stand-up, to your point, like Cody with the blood dripping out of his ear, essentially, like, oh, that guy's a monster. Like, that looked pretty good. But like you said, WWE has to do the WWE finish. I'm going to go the other ones, like the tag match. Leon Slater, Javon Evans, like those guys, they have some bounce. They're able to move. It's something that's different from the WWE. I know we see it a lot on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but it stands out in that WWE world. I don't know if it'll translate to the main roster based on the last, 20 to 40 years of the main roster, but it was cool to see them get their shine on Saturday.
Why, just because Rey Fénix hasn't really stood out the way we thought he might?
Yes.
Among others,
He's laughing, but he's pissed off, folks.
Of course.
Like, Gabe might be smiling through that beard, but he is not happy with that. For Penta or Rey Fénix.
Either one of them.
But he is not happy that a guy that was at a certain level at AEW, they go to WWE and they're just attractions, if that.
That's what Steve's for.
That's what Speed's for. Is Speed still around?
I don't know.
In NXT, yes.
Okay, in NXT. But I think that just goes to show that the fact that we all picked like the three different matches, we all picked one. I think that of that portion, I don't think anybody can disagree with, I think, mission accomplished of what they wanted to do in terms of showcasing some of these talents and be able to introduce them to some of the casual wrestling fans, some of the people who only pay attention to more of the main roster stuff. Again, I just... Of everybody that participated, Oboe's the one who stood me up to me, because like I look at him, I go, that guy's a future world champ.
Yeah.
Like,
in
a way, I probably, the last time I felt that way about somebody was probably Bron Breakker. And we're obviously seeing the trajectory that Bron is now on the main roster.
Brian, can I do a side topic off of this?
Okay.
Do you mind?
Go for it.
Okay. So what is more aesthetically pleasing for us as wrestling fans? The way WWE does it, like the Saturday Night's Main Event, we know it was a special with Cena. Very few matches on the card, very short matches until we get to the main event. What's better, what AEW does with every match being a banger, or the short cards? What's been the best matches? I think AEW, even though it is a slog, but it's still great wrestling, it's time consuming, the times suck. But I think I prefer that more than, because think about if we're paying $800 to go to Washington, D.C., and we get the finish that we thought was going to happen with the main event, but also the matches before that, not long, very short. I would be pissed off about that. And no dark matches. What's better?
Go ahead, Gabe.
I have never felt when I have spent money on an AEW pay-per-view, and most of the time it's just in Chicago. Those are the only ones I've been to. So whether that's All In, bummed I won't be able to go to World's End, because yes, they're long, but I've never felt walking out of the arena like I got ripped off. Like I've always gotten my money's worth. And as WWE and starts to charge more and more and more and more and more for events, and they have things like this, you probably walk out of there going, was that really worth it? Did I get my money's worth there? And I have never felt that way walking out of an AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, never. I mean, just watching at home, where like spending the $40 to $50, which is now monthly with AEW, it's never a question for me. It's like, yeah, I want to do that. If the WWE was still in that mold of pay-per-views and it was still this WWE style, I don't know if I would do it every month. Because like as a wrestling fan, I want to watch wrestling. I want to watch good wrestling. I want to watch wins and losses. Like that ultimately makes me feel better and makes me feel more invested, where it's like, hey, this guy won or this girl lost. Like that's a big deal, as opposed to WWE, where you get the four matches, you're going to get a run in, it's predictable. And also you're probably going to see it three more times over the next month, because that's sort of how they book things right now.
So I just Googled one random card, just to take a look at just a random non-major pay-per-view. So I did Clash at Paris. Roman Reigns defeated Bronson Reed in a 22-minute match.
Okay.
We had the Wyatt Six versus the Street Profits for the WWE Tag Team Championships, 13-minute match. No. Becky Lynch defeating Nikki Bella in a 13-minute match for the Intercontinental match. No. Rusev defeated Sheamus in a 20-minute match by submission in a good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
Banger.
Cena defeated Logan Paul in a 26-minute match, and then Seth Rollins in a fatal Banger. Four-way beat Punk, Uso, and LA Knight in a 24-minute match. So Banger. that one actually ended up being okay. Them. Yeah, I feel like that, again, that was just a random one that I Googled. But again, I think that can change very, very quickly in terms of what happens next in some of their bigger events that they've had. So like WrestlePalooza would have been the next one. Which again featured Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre in a 17-minute match, Punk and AJ Lee in a mixed tag match with Seth and Becky in 29 minutes.
Too long.
Air versus Sky in 20 minutes. Solid. Vision versus Usos in a 17-minute match. It's and fine. Then Brock Lesnar beat John Cena in less than 9 minutes.
Well, I mean, if you look at WrestleMania 41, so that was the most recent one, two matches went over 20 minutes. Night one main event, the triple threat match with Punk, Roman, and Rollins went 32 minutes. Night two, the main event with Cena and Cody went 21 minutes.
So WWE, outside of the major tentpole events, is tapas.
Yes.
Right? These small plate shows.
I leave those restaurants still feeling a little hungry.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Or the doggy bag is frowned upon at some of these places, right? You can't take a bag of food home. So the top is the small plates for a big guy like me. That doesn't do anything. That's an appetizer that they do there. But also with AEW, though, it's the whole smorgasbord, right? It's everything. It's a Hungry Corral or whatever that is, Golden Corral. Or it makes me hungry when I'm in the corral. But all of that, that's what it is. It's actually the AEW, they're giving you three and four plates, and you're like, I'm full. No, have some more. Uh-huh. No, I'm full. Have some more. It's like the steak place, Gabe. It's like, you know, you turn the little thing over. And it's red.
If you go to the Brazilian steakhouse,
But they're still giving it to you. Again, it says red. Sir, would you like some? Don't you see it says red? They cut it for you anyway. More.
And you're like, all right, well, it's good. I don't want it to go to waste.
You told them you turned the little thing over and they're still serving it to you. And that's AEW. I kind of prefer that. I kind of prefer that because I feel like the small plates, if I'm in Washington, I'm not happy with that, with the totality of that card. So I know they want to do that for the tentpole events, WrestleMania, and – you know, Survivor Series and all that, but oh, Survivor Series, that's another example, right? How many matches on that card? Five?
But also, they don't Four? Care. Like, they're getting your money. Like, people are showing up and spending those buku bucks to be there, so whatever in their opinion. Like, they don't care.
That dries up at some point in this economy. Like, I understand that they want to do the UFC model, but yeah, at least at UFC, for that audience, you know, a 30-second tap out is all they want. They can throw 17,000-18,000 people. For us, we like action.
Right.
But for the UFC, it's like, oh, a guy got knocked out in 10 seconds. Well, it was worth it, was it? You're there all night watching these small bouts, and then it's like a 10 or 11 match card, and then the guy taps out in 10 seconds in the main event. It's like, okay. But for us, we like the long form action more than just a few bouts.
But that's what they're building it off of, because you will have those nights where 7 of the 8 fights end in 30 seconds. It's like, oh, we did what we had to do. And like that's it. Or even the night before, hey, so-and-so is overweight or so-and-so pulled out. Like, we're canceling a match. Like, they are basing it on that UFC model and saying, yeah, it works for us. We're going to keep it rolling.
Gabe, have you been to a UFC fight?
Never been to a UFC event.
Is it a lot in Wisconsin?
They came once to Milwaukee years ago, and I just couldn't make the night work. But I wanted to go just to check it out. They had an event at, I think it was at Fiserv. I think it was after they tore down the Bradley Center. And I was unable to go. I gave my tickets to a buddy of mine who had a great time. Said it was a great show. But they do not make UFC Milwaukee very often, though.
I just want to ask. I went to the United Center and saw it in Chicago. And I noticed a lot of NWO shirts. I go, oh, that's where the WCW fan went. They're going to UFC fights, right? And you know what also?
Did you give them a two-sweet as they walked by?
Of course I did. Well, they try to ignore me, right? They're just like, we're not wrestling guys. Yes, you are. Yes, that's where you went. The disenfranchised fan went to UFC from WCW. The other thing I noticed that's a little bit of a throw-off for UFC, no bell. There's never a bell to start this. It's like, oh, is the match started? Okay, here we go. It's like there's never a bell. I don't like that.
Just quickly, so Survivor Series 4 matches, both the War Games were around 40 minutes. Dom versus Cena was 16, and Vicaire versus Bella was 12.
But then the War Games match, you also have, what, 12 entrances in there, like, and that's counted in those 40 minutes. That's the only reason it's 40 minutes, because they have to get everyone to the ring.
That's why our numbers are up at GKW. Everyone wants an entrance. They want it filmed.
So
I just
weird.
I don't understand.
Yeah, baffling.
What do we got at number 2 this week, Brian?
Monday night on Raw, we found out who the masked man was, and it's Austin Theory. Do you believe in Austin Theory?
No, I do not.
Do you believe in Joe Hendry?
More okay. than I believe in Austin Theory. I can't imagine what he would have to do in this group in order for me to believe in him. And look, I will be willing to admit when I'm wrong. I was wrong about Bronson Reed in this group. I thought Bronson was going to be brought in as the guy to take the pinfalls for Bron Breakker for Seth Rollins. And Bronson Reed got himself over. To now the point of, well, now they've also added Logan Paul. And now if they have Austin Theory, Theory's got to be the guy eating the pinfalls for this heel group, right?
Yeah, it almost feels like that's why he was at it, because Bronson got so over and can't be the pin eater. Like, correct. Well, we need someone else. Like,
no, and,
hey,
and Logan Paul's not going to be that guy, right? Like, you're not adding Logan Paul to be that guy to this group. So it kind of feels like that's what Austin Theory is going to be. And again, whether it's the, and I know it made its rounds again this week, Cena destroying him on the microphone leading into the WrestleMania match of he loses everything, whether he wins or loses, whether it's him cashing in his Money in the Bank briefcase on a non-top title, doing it on a mid-card title, to the A-Town Down Under kind of failed run. Like, this guy hasn't had anything to go, hey, remember this guy? Yeah, this guy, we can bring that guy back and he can be successful here. I just, him having a pose off with Bobby Lashley, and look, I understand that's not his fault, that's 100% on Vince, but I still had to watch it and I still had to hate it, right? Yeah. So he's got a lot to overcome, and I can't imagine this is the group where he overcomes it, because even when we get to the eventual breakup of the Vision, he's the Jannetty. He's not going to break off and beat any of these guys.
Marty Jannetty, a fine guest here at Good Karma Wrestling, once upon a time.
Yeah.
For 3 minutes.
Before he walked out on the interview. Yeah, that happened though.
Isn't wrestling cruel that way, guys? I mean, we have the formula down. Gabe just laid it out for you. Like, this is the formula, right?
Uh-huh.
You have three guys you believe in the Vision and Paul Heyman. Well, if you ever get into a tag team match or if you need someone to represent the Vision, someone's got to lose. It's just the wrestling formula, right? There's always a weak spot in a faction or a tag team where someone's got to take the pinfall. And that's Austin Theory. And I'm sure that Austin's glad to be back in the mix in the fold of some sort. But also, we have to remember this, that Heyman really likes Austin Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Likes him a lot. It's like a Marina Shafir, John Moxley situation where it's just like, I see something in you. Okay, all right. And maybe he will be able to climb the ladder. Or this could be Curtis Axel. I don't know. But I would just tell you that Heyman likes him. He's going to get TV time, which is valuable, but he's going to lose matches. That's what it is.
But, like, he needs Heyman at his side because you talk about the Cena promo. They're feuding with Punk right now. I don't want to see him and Punk in the ring together on the microphone.
That's like, a Raw. That's going to be on Raw.
But that is right? Catastrophic for him. Like, if he tries going toe-to-toe with Punk on the mic.
You know what's funny is that Austin Theory actually has a good personality, but it's always on social. You ever notice this?
Yeah, sure.
And even, like, you talk about memorable moments, the NXT stuff with Gargano and them, which is probably more of a testament to Gargano. I don't even remember what the hell the group was called, but, like, there was something there, and it was, like, before NXT changed.
The Way?
Yeah, that sounds right, actually. So, like, that was good. He was good there, but, like, not main event level. And also Gargano, I think, elevates some of that, but, like, there's just nothing to latch onto right now where you say, all right, that's something I believe deserves to be in the main event scene, which is where he's going to be now.
I understand why people in charge like him. I see the potential there, but they haven't been able to drag the potential. No storyline has really dragged the potential out of it.
Yeah. And I think also no fault of his, but when those social media rumors start, Montez Ford was a name floated around as like being the masked man. I would have been excited to see that, to see Montez finally break off, to go the heel route, and then you see it's Austin Theory, like, pass.
I think masked man coming. I think there's someone else coming.
Well, because they were kind of doing the different masked man thing just to try to throw people off the scent, because I think too many people got on the Austin Theory scent early. I hope there's another masked man coming. Yeah, I mean, masked man's probably going to beat Austin Theory, but...
No, who knows, but I've been reading that there is actually more than one masked man. If it is Montez Ford, that would be awesome because we've been waiting for that that singles run since the show started.
Yeah, it's always right there.
So we've been waiting for that for a long time around here.
Angelo Dawkins is not interested in it, though, as he well told us.
Like, no.
He's good where he is.
Exclusive, first to report. I ain't trying to do that. I think that was the quote. I ain't trying to do that. What do you mean? And not a bad thing. He's kind of a D'Lo Brown type figure, right? He's not bad, actually.
Yeah, he's good.
So I hear there's going to be a second masked man. But the Austin Theory thing, if our audience has not seen this, check it out. Like his Austin, Steve Austin impression, and he does that. He does some kind of wild stuff on social. That never is on the screen, though. We never see that in the actual body of the shows that we watch.
I mean, maybe Heyman elevates it. Maybe that's the missing piece, like having someone like Heyman. But you mentioned Curtis Axel, who they tried also, and that didn't quite work.
Also, don't forget, at the end, that was Vince's pet project. Vince was 100% behind him, if you recall. The last vignettes was with Austin Theory. It didn't go anywhere. It was weird, but it was Vince's last vignettes is with Austin Theory.
But I can't... He just has too much history, and I know part of the WWE formula, less so under Hunter versus Vince, is that the fan base has a short memory.
Right.
Like, we've much like with Drew McIntyre, like, we've just kind of seen this guy be the butt end of jokes, like, constantly. Like, what makes me think that he is going to be a winner on the level of Bron Breakker, who at some point in the next 6 months is going to be the World Heavyweight Champion, Logan Paul, who has had unbelievable success. I don't know if he ever holds a world championship, but he obviously has that star power. Bronson Reed getting himself over with the tsunami, despite us making fun of him for being big Bronson Reed, because how else are we going to know he's big if he's not right there in the name? But like, he still gets himself over. Like, you can't, you're not going to hit 100% with all these guys in the Vision. Like, it's just not possible. I can't imagine Austin Theory having a move, having a promo, having anything that's going to get him over where he's not going to be the guy eating the pinfalls in the group and being the weak link in the group.
Yeah, and even looking at, like, even title-wise, like NXT-wise, he was never the top guy there. He was never world champion there, where we saw that with Bron Breakker. We're seeing it with Obafemi. Like, he's a mid-card guy.
You just gotta break through that glass ceiling, man. There's nothing distinguishable about Austin Theory.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, he looks like a lot of guys in NXT, body-wise, ability-wise, but maybe this can help him break through again. Heyman's not going to quit on him. That's for sure. I mean, being with Heyman helps. Yeah. Now, after that, I can't help you. But ultimately, you know what the answer is. We know the answer to the question. Do you believe in Austin Theory? Yes, away from WWE.
But yes, I believe.
Well, you got to go away for a while. Learn a new hold, as JR would tell you. Go learn a new hold.
I mean, who thought that Drew McIntyre would have gone away and came back to what he did?
Yeah, that's fair.
Cody, Drew. Works. Sometimes you just gotta go away, man. And I think you've been in the system too long. Yeah, been in the system too long. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair.
You just don't like him.
Nothing excited about.
Few do. What do we have at number three this week?
Last night, AEW Dynamite, the return of MJF, setting up next week at World's End, a fatal four-way for the world title. Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, Hangman Page, and MJF. Who becomes the world champion at World's End?
I think Joe retains. I think Joe still retains, and he eventually loses to one of these three in a one-on-one. Now, I'm not quite sure the order in which it goes. I don't know if it ends up being MJF because he comes back. I feel MJF kind of ends up getting screwed because it's the fatal four-way. Ops are going to get involved, and it just ends up being a better visual for me if one of these three guys, probably not Hangman, either Swerve or MJF, end up winning in a one-on-one match in their first pay-per-view of 2026. So I think Joe carries it into 26. If just giving him another title, like giving him what he's defended the title once.
Yeah, and I felt that was just sort of shoehorned in there to say that he defended it once.
So I think Joe still defends, but he's not going to hold on to it much longer into 2026.
Let's break down that promo that MJF comes out of nowhere and signs his contract. Let's first of all talk about Hook dressed as the Morton Salt girl. what is with that purple outfit? All he was missing was the umbrella. What is that? Guys, have you seen the board? Look that up. Have you seen
it hit. Don't worry. I
don't know why he's dressed that way. I'm surprised MJF didn't take a shot at Hook. Like, you're supposed to be a badass, you're dressed that way. That's a very odd outfit he was wearing. I guess I'm sure that that's got fashion to it. I'm sure it's got a label on it. I just don't know why he's dressed that way. He looked weird. So MJF goes around and cuts a promo on everybody, and he was vintage MJF, right? It was fantastic. And it made me believe that he can win the title because no one said anything. I guess it was one of those things where you guys just let him cook, right? He cooked everybody. It was bad. He cooked everybody. It would be hard for me not to stand there and not break his jaw. Talking about the way he talked down to me that way, like if I'm Shane Swerve Strickland, you're in WWE, you weren't that good. It's like oh geez, going after Sloppy Joe, going after the world heavyweight champion with the ops in the corner, going after Hangman. I mean, he cut up everybody. He signs a contract, and Brian, it made me feel like, could you start the year in 26 with him as world champion? I wouldn't disagree with that decision.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it felt like this was the path we were going on for the minute Hangman won. It's like, all right, it's just the next step to MJF. And it already was an interesting main event. And I'm even more so interested now. Him being in it, him cutting promos is always a win. Who takes the pin in this match? Like, Joe is honestly the only one that makes sense.
Hanger.
Yeah. Again, like back-to-back pay-per-views, he's getting pinned?
See, I guess I just see a situation where you get one of the finishes if somebody hits their match or their finishing move on Hanger, And then they get thrown out of the ring and Joe comes flying in and gets the pin that way. Like that's how I see kind of Joe retaining and you can kind of keep this thing going.
Yeah, I think that's, NXT's done it, I think, a couple times now because they saw it work. Like, oh, we should do it again. The accidental finish in these type of matches where someone gets hit and they just fall on someone and then they end up winning. I think that's how actually won the title.
Yeah, the classic, what was that? That first happened, I feel, in an HBK match like 20 years ago.
Yeah, so like stuff like that. And like, we're in a good spot in the main event scene right now where we have, literally, you can make a case for all four of them to win next week.
Yes,
where,
yeah.
The match ends, you see one of those four holding the title up. You're like, all right, I'm happy with that. So that, to me, speaks to a good main event division, which AEW has right now.
I think for Joe, it's a harder line to draw of, sure. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm happy with that. I think you're going to have to tell a really good story within the match to make that make sense. But I'm confident with the wrestlers involved, especially just because I believe in Samoa Joe and his acumen in pro wrestling, that they're going to come up with something that makes a lot of sense if he is the one to retain. But I think that's the bigger point here, Brian, is the one you just made. All four of these dudes could win, and you could make it make sense and have some really good stories and matches going forward.
Yep.
Which is not often the case when you have a fatal four-way. Much right. Like we were just talking with Austin Theory, it's like, okay, I might not be sure who wins this one, but I sure as hell know who's losing. Right. I sure as hell know who's taking the pin of these four. And I don't know if there's an answer to that right now.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that MJF has the momentum, is going to win this match. I think that's a great way to start the year in 2026 with him as a champion. I think he's done with his movies for now. So I think that can work out. I guess I'm going to already spoil it for you, like, because after World's End, if MJF wins, what I'm going to say to you guys is, then why make Joe the champion? Why make him this temporary champion? Because Joe, and I'll tell you what about this title reign. It's been short. I liked Joe the last time he was champion, because last time Joe was the champion, he was dressed in suits. Right.
Yeah.
He looked the part. Now he's just like the savage. Right. He's just out there, just like in his gear all the time. I liked the guy with the cigar and the drink and sitting down and just like, here's a guy that looked the part as world champion. This is a little different, Joe, where he's not taking care of the hair like he used to for whatever reason. It's just, I don't know why he's doing it with that. Just cut it.
As MJF pointed out last night, there's not a lot of hair to take care of anymore. Yeah.
Just shave it. Like shave it down. It just, he's not taking care of himself like he did the first time around. He looks like a temporary champion. That's what he looks like. But MJF, you could tell another hair treatment. You can see that it was different again this time, fully coiffed, combed to the back, and he looked the part. I think that Hangman Page, to me, Hangman Page against MJF and MJF wins would have been a better World's End for me. Hangman Page didn't have to lose the title.
But we can still get that.
When?
Like if MJF pins Joe or pins Swerve, then all of a sudden Hangman's still pissed, still wants his shot at him. Like you can still go down that path.
I think your finish is right. I think it's Swerve that loses the bout to MJF. And what if this is a kind of a quirky pin?
Right.
Chicago will be behind him because he's a heel. And that's how that works.
I guess as far as MJF goes, I assumed he was returning last night, but not for this. I assumed he was going to be a participant in the Battle Royal because,
right?
Like, how do you have that? He even came out with the dynamite ring, you know, fake punching the camera as part of his entrance, and then he doesn't participate in his precious dynamite diamond ring Battle Royal? Didn't want a part of that? That I thought that was interesting.
They're going to take the ring off of him. That'll be all for that.
But we will get a Bandito world title match. That's what it looks like.
We are.
Well, because whoever wins the Dynamite Diamond Ring,
Ricochet, yeah.
At middle of January, there's a specially labeled Dynamite that you're going to get a world championship match.
Oh, Collision.
I love Tony getting tripped up this week. He's like, winter is coming, Collision version. Like, we're going to call both shows the same here.
There's a lot going on in that company, but you know what? No complaints. Like we got a quality four way at the top of the card. Got no problem with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
No problem with it.
I'm really looking forward to that match. And again, it's gonna be something to keep you warm on a Saturday night in December. It's gonna be a fun match.
What else is on the card? I'm sorry. What else is on the card?
Statlander versus Jamie Hayter. Babes of Wrath defending against Athena and Mercedes. That was just announced. Oh, and the Continental Classic, the semifinal.
Yeah, Continental. So you've got the Blue League winner versus the Gold League runner-up, Gold League winner versus Blue League runner-up, and then the Continental Championship match. So yeah, you've already got six matches announced for this thing.
Like, those three alone can carry a card. The way the Continental Classic's been rolling through right now.
Doubling up the WWE.
Yeah.
Just banger after banger in the Continental Classic. Like, I feel bad for Jack Perry. Like, he gets thrown into this thing. I'm like, I don't know where to match. Just bad for him.
Someone has to.
All right, let's dive into news and notes.
All right, we almost had the big reunion Gabe's been waiting for. It's supposed to be Saturday night, the Lucha Bros in AAA, but Penta's injury changing things. So instead, Rey Mysterio filling in. He will tag with Rey Fénix Saturday night against Dominic Mysterio and El Grande Americano. The show will stream for free on the WWE's YouTube.
I mean, sure. Makes a ton of sense. Like, Rey Mysterio being on that card makes a ton of sense. Sure. Disappointing for somebody who is a fan of the Lucha Bros. Because usually it's Rey Fénix who can't stay healthy. And now, like, for the first time, it feels like it's Penta who's preventing this reunion from happening.
Rey is kind of like the old luchadors from back in the day. I think we know how old he is, but because he's doing the same things he did in like 2002, he's still viable in this matchup, right?
Yep.
Before Wikipedia and before we got information, like Mil Mascaris was wrestling in his 60s, but you didn't know because he's doing the same things. The things that he would do, he'd fly around the ring and not job. That's one thing you could always depend on Will Mil Mascaris. Same thing here with Rey. Rey still got it. Yep. And then is his son on the other side? It'll be fun.
Yep. Title change on NXT television this week, but not quite one planned. Thea Hall, the new women's North American title, taking the title from Blake Monroe. The finish, reportedly, unplanned. They were taping a few shows on Tuesday and had plans in place that they had to reshuffle after the show.
Yeah, apparently they shot a bunch of stuff on Monday, and they had to kind of, well, they shot it with Blake Monroe as the champ, and now she's not the champ, and... Whoops. Apparently she got Blake Monroe got the wind knocked out of her. And that's why she was a little late to kick out of that move.
If you listen, you hear her yelling to get off of me, which is never a good sign while you're being pinned. There's that.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? You know, one of these days when we have a quiet time, like we never do on Good Karma Wrestling, we need to be able to list all these AEW people going to WWE and find out whether or not it's really been a good run. Blake Monroe, not a great run.
No.
Penta Fénix, not a great run. They come over for the money, and by the way, light schedule, money, but yeah, it's not working out. Not even for Blake Monroe, not great. By the way, just as an aside with NXT, did you guys know that NXT ran a house show in Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday?
Yes, during Saturday night's main event.
How is all hands not on deck? Like, there's a lot of people missing. Like, there's no Roman, no Orton. It was a weird night because everybody should have been there. Maybe they're going to be on Unreal. I don't know. But we didn't see them Saturday night at ringside. What the hell's going on? Like, people working Orton, on Saturday night?
So Orton had put out, I don't know if it was, I think it was on his Instagram. Apparently he was over in Saudi doing promotional work for the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Why would you schedule that? You're the one controlling that.
Money.
Why would not be there for... And then the kids from NXT, they're working a house show that no one's at in Columbia, South Carolina. Like, I'd want to be there to see John Cena's last match. Put me in a skybox.
Well, now the reports are they're changing some of the NXT system where usually if you're in the main event, you do your match, you go home. But because of something like this where they have to refilm stuff, they're like, yeah, everyone's got to stick around for the whole show now because of this botched finish.
Oh, my God.
They even played Blake. They started to play Blake Monroe's music after the finish. Like, oh no, wait, she didn't win. It was probably queued up already.
What a mess. Shawn Michaels, the chef, huh?
Friend of show Kyle Fletcher on the Chris Van Bleet show confirmed in August report that he has signed a long-term AEW extension. Says, quote, he never expected to be one of the guys to have the deal that he currently has.
Good for him. I mean, he's one of. You think of the pillar match, you know, that they had, the four pillars match, and these guys were going to be the future of AEW, and it's way different now of who those pillars are. And I would argue if they were to have a four pillars match today, Kyle Fletcher is one of those pillars. So good for him, and good for AEW for recognizing that and making sure they locked him up.
Let's put him on. Let's talk about it.
He is big time. Like, he is the MVP of the Continental Classic right now.
Of course, absolutely. I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers. This is why people compare him to a young Randy Orton. Look at that body. Look at the ability that he has in the ring. I think we should have him on for the eighth time. Let's have him on to talk about it and to congratulate him. He'll come on with us.
Yeah, I think Sam's good to go. And finally, news and notes, Steve Borden Jr., a.k.a. the son of Sting, took part in AEW Dark Match December 10th. According to reports, very impressive. Fightful now reports Borden will be signing with AEW if he hasn't already.
Not shocking. Like, again, I think it goes back to Sting's retirement match where we were all surprised with how good he looked as NWO Wolfpack Sting. Yeah. And like, oh, this guy's going to wrestle. Of course, he's going to go to AEW because that's where Sting was.
Need to name, though. Need to name. You cannot go in there as Steve Borden Jr. You can't go in as Steve Borden. You got to do something with that name. That's a dull name. To be a wrestler,
you need better than Sting that. Sting Jr.
Anything Jr. is bad.
Okay. You just complimented Ray. It worked out for him.
You know, he cut that Jr. off, didn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's just Rey Mysterio to us, pal.
Yeah,
all right. And that's a Vince thing. You never like Jr. because he's a Jr. But he needs a different name. We got to come up with a different name because Steve Borden coming down, it's like, that's Sting's son, right? Okay. Yeah.
So, by the way, was I the only one when, because they announced that they did a dark, you know, they did AEW dark overseas, when Tony was teasing, oh, I'm going to bring it back for one night only. Was I the only one hoping for Rampage? Was that just me?
Is Daddy Magic on the commentary for this dark? I didn't watch it.
I haven't watched it. I would just assume.
Okay.
Right after Friday Night Lights, there's Gabe Neitzel with a beer in his hand.
Yep.
Friday night, turning on Rampage.
It's time for the main event.
I never know when the main event is now that we don't have
I know. You don't know when the show is. This going to be the main event? Is it not going to be the main event? It's very confusing.
Gabe's wife looking in disgust, shaking her head from side to side with a beer in his hand, watching Rampage.
Why won't you come to bed? Because I got to watch Rampage, huh?
Yeah. Ray Phoenix versus Action Andretti. You know, big match.
Sad. Quickly, to add one thing to news and notes, your guys' thoughts on Mick Foley saying he is not going to up his Legends deal and he is distancing himself from WWE because of the president and his closeness with some different members of WWE and the way that the president handled the unfortunate death of Rob Reiner and his wife.
He has every right to do that. Absolutely. There's no question that WWE and President Trump have a relationship. Hell, Trump is a WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But it goes back for a while here, the relationship that they have. Paul Levesque is part of the council, the sports council in the White House. He's part of that group. So Mick Foley has
his mother-in-law's in the cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a cabinet, an actual cabinet.
Yep.
Yes. Yes. They won't let her out. She's in a cabinet knocking on the door. But no, I can understand if Mick feels that way. Totally understand it. They all come back. But at this point in time, he feels like, nah, this is not the right thing for me.
Yeah, I was reading other reports where apparently you might see some more go down this path. Bret Hart, Kevin Nash names have been mentioned to where they might stand on their moral and say, hey, you know what? We don't want to be associated with this anymore.
But you're with TKO. If you're with TKO, you're with Dana White. You're with Paul Levesque. That means you're part of the Trump administration, or at least in his good graces.
Yeah.
A lot of people cannot get over that. So totally understand it.
What did you guys have for your matches of the week?
I like Moxley winning. How about that? How about Moxley? Your guy Moxley won a match. Yeah. How about that on Dynamite?
Yeah. Kind of rallying a little bit. I mean, going back to our guy. Yeah, I was. Yeah. Pac versus Fletcher.
Cool.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Not shocking, but fantastic. Had to make the list.
So good. Going back to Saturday, even though I like having winners and losers, the draw between Takeshita and Claudio.
Hell of a match. Thank
you. My God.
Well, and you're going to, they're always going to, the trouble with the draw is not overdoing it. Like, you want to sprinkle a couple in there because you know it exists and it kind of helps prevent, you know, set up tiebreakers with just one point here and there. So you know you're going to get a couple of those ties in the Continental Classic, and usually they end up being bangers.
And I assume we're going to get one of those two, Claudio Takeshita versus Fletcher at the pay-per-view. So, yes.
That Continental Classic, man, it's so good. So look, good. I understand why it's in place, because Tony Khan's always wanted to have his G1 Climax tournament, and like New Japan does. So he has this now for the Continental Classic, and it's so good. No outside interference. You may not like to finish every time, but the action is really, really good.
And Dorado even got a win in the tournament. We never saw that coming.
I saw that Dorado. Like, why?
I don't know. Dorado.
They usually give everyone at least one win.
Yeah. Because
they did that. They did that with.
Was it Mark Briscoe last year?
With Briscoe last year, where it's like, okay, he's eating all these, but then all of a sudden, kind of towards the end, he gets one, so there's not a zero next to his name. At least give him 3 points.
I also had, despite the WWE being the WWE, I enjoyed Raquel and Stephanie Vaquer from Monday, even though we ain't going to win the women's title match. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
We probably need a rematch there.
Yeah.
Because Raquel, I think she stepped up a few spots, I think, as a wrestler. It's a good challenge for Vaquer, I think, because she's taller, and I think it'd be a good lesson for Raquel. So there's a couple of matches. It's that match. It's the tag team match of Saturday Night's Main Event. I'd like to see a few more times, because I think there's a lot more meat on the bone with some of those matches.
I mean, I still put Cena Gunther on my list. I really enjoyed it. I thought they did it the right way. Again, it's... And maybe just because it's Cena and we haven't had a lot of those retirement matches in WWE as of late. Obviously, we had Goldberg earlier this year. But, you know, you think back to some of the other ones that they've had, like, other than Baron Corbin winning, I don't remember much of his match against Kurt Angle. You know, like, but this one feels like it's going to be memorable and stick with me, not just because of the way Cena tapped out and Cena tapping out, but the way that they told the story in the ring. I really enjoyed it.
And another match we're looking forward to on Saturday. I don't know if you know this or not, Brian. A big matchup on Saturday. And we got to keep our eyes on this.
Okay.
Bears and Packers. Another big matchup. Bears and Packers. So Gabe, listen, we're in the back, right? And so we're going to lay our match out. So here's what I need you to do. Like,
okay,
we go back and forth. We score, you know, back and forth. But at the end, in the fourth quarter, just need you to just lay down.
Just lay down.
Just lay down. Just, I mean, because you don't need this win. You're fine, but we kind of need so.
Just let me know where the match is. Is it still at Soldier Field? Are we going to Gary, Indiana? Like, where? No. Like, just let me know where I need to show up.
Yeah, it's all fake news. Don't believe that newspaper. it'll be at Soldier Field in Chicago.
Okay.
Great weather. All right. If it dry conditions, not crazy cold like it has been. So if you just lay down, we'll be good. Can you do that Saturday?
I wasn't planning on it. No.
Just lay down. Just take the look. You don't need the win. Let me just like you know, at the last second, 1, 2, 3, and then you kick out at 3.5. All right, we can do that. You just kick out, like Hogan did to Ultimate Warrior, like an asshole. It's like
kick out Bobby Fish against Punk or Fish did also.
Wait a minute, that wasn't in the plan. I just missed it.
Miscommunication.
So if you could just.
I'll take it under advisement. I'll give you an answer before the matchup on Saturday.
We'll both be in the playoffs, and then you could just beat us in the playoffs as usual. So just you could do that. You could do that. But just for Saturday, just lay down.
If you missed any of this show, any of the past shows, we mentioned some of the interviews we've done throughout the course of the year, comment, subscribe, check us out, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Going to be a little bit of a different schedule. We'll still have shows coming your way on Thursdays. We've got Christmas, New Year's Day coming up the next couple of weeks. But we'll still have content for you. Might just be a little bit different than normal. We've got our year in review show, things like that still coming your way at the end of 2025. We'll be back here all that next week right here on GKW.